This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgara.
You are listening to our new season.
It's the new season on the new network. It's a brand new, it's a brand new diner.
And we of course have been doing this for, is it 5 years?
It's about 18 years.
About it. This podcast is old enough to buy whiskey in Canada.
In Canada.
Yeah, which would be rye, of course.
Oh.
A less popular. Don't get me started on different types of booze.
In Canada. There's the idea of an alcoholic teen in high school that's drinking rye is one of the saddest mental pictures I've had in a while.
Yeah, but reminds me of home.
Yeah?
And the holidays.
Did you like some rye over the rocks when you were in junior high?
I am from a giant state that is not very populated.
Right. And can I guess New Hampshire?
It is bigger than New Hampshire, if you can imagine.
Bigger
that.
Than a New Hampshire.
Go 40 sizes up.
Montana.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good job, boy.
Thank you.
And you're good at, we're both good at math. But yeah, there's nothing to do, especially around the holidays. And there's kids, you know, just drinking out of a light bulb.
Really?
Or smoking out of,
Smoking,
yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of, it's really out of sheer boredom.
Yeah, I can relate, but my town not being that small, but country style, where you're just making up shit to do, like, I'm going to walk through this field, then I'm going to come back the other way.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And I got to make sure to step on no cracks or sticks, just to make it interesting.
Always important. Watch your mother's back at all times, please.
I was so, there was one time walking home from school, my mom was carrying my trombone. I don't know why I was letting her carry it for me. I guess I had books. But who has books in fourth grade?
Where's your backpack?
She fell on her back so hard, and it was because I wasn't paying attention to cracks, I think. She cartoonishly went horizontal in the air and landed and didn't drop my trombone.
Didn't drop it?
No.
I was going to say.
She was a good person.
There's so much comedic potential there with what happened with that trombone. Sounds like the beginning of the dirtiest joke of all time.
It had some water damage, but it was not yet rusty. But as she fell, I do remember it going, like it made a comedic fall down noise. I'm like, from inside the case.
How?
I don't know.
The ghost of Benny Hill was in there playing it for her.
Oh, I love Benny Hill's old classics, like rusty haunted trombone.
Of your mom.
Oh, Benny Hill. He's the comedian. He fast motion ran around chasing himself in a dress.
That's
I forget.
Right. He was a Brit, a moon-faced Brit with tons of great comedy ideas.
You know, I've never seen any of it. I've never seen any Benny Hill. I just know is the... Okay, that's all I know.
It was very... It was almost like Dirty Mr. Bean, and they played it after cartoons after school in the Bay Area. So, like, it was like you'd go from Tom and Jerry to a middle-aged British man chasing, like, a young stewardess across a hill, and she'd be, like, in her underpants. It was very strange.
It's interesting to think that someone's popularity is just based on a bad programming decision.
Yeah.
You know, like, had he not been on cartoons after cartoons, would he have any presence in our American minds?
Not in my American mind.
And good. Yeah, my mind is rarely not American. You know me.
You're proud to be an American mind. Always have been. Where have you been? We haven't seen each other in, what, a month?
Two months? I've been domestic, mostly.
Okay.
I've done a little traveling. Okay. I did... The first thing I did before the last time, after the last, was Politicon, that Politicon thing.
Oh, right, right.
And I did Paul Ryan.
How'd that go?
It was okay. It was, we went in up between panels, so it was like as people were filing out and people were filing in.
That's what they call the sweet spot in comedy.
It was, and it ended up not, it's known as that, but it turns out it's not sweet at all.
There's no sweetness to it?
It just was not having people fully paying attention.
To political jokes.
And it was 80% conservative people.
I think that... The ones with the great sense of humor.
They really don't. It was amazing to see that. I mean, that's what I would assume, but that's me being close-minded, I would think. But No, they have zero sense of humor.
Yep.
You got your Proud Boys, you got your Confused... There was, like, Latinos for Trump. Like, all these groups that don't make sense, but they have nowhere else to hang out except at this convention, because... People like you and me can just go outside all the time and rub elbows. I guess. I don't know why. Because the people that ran it seemed normal.
Right.
But it was dangerous at times.
It doesn't sound like a good stage for comedy, really.
No, which is why I brought it up. So that was horrifying.
Great.
And I did some stand-up. I've been traveling a little. Went to Seattle, beautiful. All the buildings are washed with the rain.
So nice
up there. Sparkling. It is very nice.
I love Seattle so much.
It is. It was beautiful. I had Thanksgiving with my sister and my nieces and my nephew because they happened to be in Tacoma. I booked these shows. I'm like, well, I guess I'm not having Thanksgiving. My sister happened to be in the city I was going to because I always forgot.
Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa was there. Hey.
That's baby.
That's Sandy Dand. That's Sandy. He's a comic and he's nice.
And his baby is the cutest baby I've ever seen.
Well, we should tell him sometime.
Well, let's tell him now. Let's assume he's our number one fan. Sandy.
Families. When they're smaller, the smaller the better.
Right? Sandy Dando just walked by with his wife and or girlfriend, whatever, and baby. And the wife girlfriend was running. So let's call her a partner. She was running, so the baby was bouncing up and down, and the baby had a cow print onesie on. I don't know.
What if he's married and doesn't have a kid, and that was his mistress and their baby?
Secret family in Burbank?
You heard it here first.
Sandy Dando has at least one, if not more, secret families in the Valley.
Print it up, TMZ. Boom, boom, boom.
Sandy Dando. Which is a great comedy name.
I saw family. I cry a lot lately. I don't know. I think it's okay.
I'm with you 100%.
I cry. Woman that's had a rough life, I can tell because she was a pretty faced person, but just there's, you know, drug damage.
Sure.
And that's a lot of people riding past my house in Venice. And some, she had a fight with her boyfriend. This was the other night. I heard screaming. He jumped up and down on her bike. Her bike was bent and broken, and it was in the street, and cars just drove around her. And I ran over there, and she was just crying. And I'm not bragging about being sensitive right now. It sounds like I am. That's a weird brag.
You're not peacocking sensitivity
no,
right now. Okay, I trust you
because I'm a man, and men aren't supposed to cry in the street with a stranger. And I did. And you'd think it's not just sad stuff. And she was okay, and I bent her thing back, whatever. But then she would say, you know, she was probably about to grab my wallet, so I got the hell out of there.
Good, great. Don't trust, but definitely express your feelings.
But then I just saw a family in a mall. This dad, he was like, you know, he was a young man. He looked like a model slash pro basketball player, and he had these two daughters that were just climbing on him, mm-hmm. giggling, and he was acting goofy, and the mom was pretty, and I'd fucking start crying.
Hell yes.
What the hell's wrong with me?
Because there's good in the world, and we probably take in too much negative. So right. When you get those shots of positivity that you didn't plan, mm-hmm. it's not like a TV show you watched or whatever. It's just like there are great people doing lovely things out in the world, and you just get these examples.
Yeah.
And it's a relief.
And something that's happened recently, because a year ago, let's say, I don't believe I'd drop everything and just cry.
No.
Upon this side of a family. Some Sandy Dando situation. Evan Dando, however. Lemonheads, I'll cry.
What if Evan Dando just had a random baby, not his, just a baby that he got, and he just was standing there?
Leapt in front of the street, I'll tell you. Yes. We'd need the windshield wipers on the inside of the car, because I would be.
A torrent of tears would be coming from both hosts.
And I know, I'm not bragging about being sensitive. Look, but I am.
You are a sensitivo. I am too. It's how we are. It's what this podcast was based on. We talk about our feelings. We express them. We demonstrate them, and we put them on other people.
If this is your first time tuning in, that's what we do.
And we'll always do it. That's our promise to you. We will emote at you till you're uncomfortable.
We will. If you don't know how to feel, we will assign it.
If you have no reaction, we'll interpret it negatively.
As you listen to this, you will find you have no control over your own brain and emotions. We are in control of it. Look into the clock as it passes in front of you. The pages of a calendar ripping from behind.
Now you are the Manchurian Candidate, and we are whoever programmed the Manchurian Candidate, the government probably.
Inside you is not a heart. It is a battery and lies and documents.
It's a battery powered by lies, and that's you deep down.
So that's kind of what we do on this podcast. I mean, if you're used to Karen although I do want to talk about murder.
Oh, we can.
I mean, ghosts.
Great.
I've been watching. Netflix is just like, hey, we know that 99% of entertainment is ghost-related haunt stories. I mean, someone at Netflix really has a boner for ghosts. And I'm sorry, I don't like that phrase.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up, because my new show, my Netflix series, Ghost Boner, is actually taking many of the tropes that people love about Netflix and just wrapping them up into one kind of super cut between people screaming up a flight of stairs and then, of course, just dick pics.
Right, right. And prior to this, your show, which is doing, congratulations on the numbers.
I'm going to have to pause you right there and order
some
Starbucks.
Sure, sure, sure. We can edit this out. We did our order. Whether or not that'll be in the, you know, we aren't Starbucks agents. As much as we joke about it, we now have real sponsors.
That's
this
right.
This is a real show.
That's right. So we shouldn't give away. We shouldn't list Starbucks items as free.
Right.
Like we're living menus.
Exactly.
We gotta get paid for that.
They want a piece of this action. They can call us.
That's right.
On our hotline. We have a phone right in the middle. A red old-timey rotary phone.
It's a rotary phone that's shaped like a latte.
We can either call the commissioners or sponsors can contact us on it.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
I think, what about this idea for a future show? And Steven, you can chime in because you're technical. We get a burner phone. We put the number up on Twitter and we take live calls during the drive.
Oh, wow.
We can do it.
Can we?
I do.
We can do it. Should we put in, like, install an actual phone in your car?
Yes.
Okay. I think that'll work.
I want to look like an 80s cocaine-based stockbroker and maybe we should make this car convertible.
Yeah, and you be that character. I'll be just a guy in a stakeout, like a kind of disgruntled, maybe drinks a little too much.
Great.
Members only jacket, but I've killed people.
Okay.
But I'm funny.
Great. Steven, what's your character?
I was going to say I'm just going to be my dad, businessman, you know, just waiting by the phone, you know, making calls while
great.
Two kids sit in the back trying not to crinkle their Doritos.
I like it.
Three very specific pictures mm-hmm. that do not match up, and that's how we do things here at this podcast.
I think that we actually should do that. This might be better than your Ghost Boner show.
Well, I would not say that. I just think that's bad luck for you to try to curse my Ghost Boner
show.
Right,
right, right. think about the popularity of the scene that everyone remembers in Ghostbusters, where Dan Aykroyd gets oral sex from a ghost. From, a lot of people don't actually remember that
that's
scene.
That's right. Was it Slimer himself?
It's during a music montage.
Okay.
It's the first night they're staying. They spend all the petty cash. They're staying in this, what ended up being haunted...
Library?
No, they rented a firehouse, remember?
Oh, yes,
and they're all staying in it the first night. And during this music montage where it goes to different haunting things, Dan Aykroyd's bed, the sheets pull off, his pants zip open.
Uh-huh.
And then he crosses his eyes in some Daniel Stern euphoric way as he gets an invisible blowjob. It's the most bizarre... I can't believe it's in the movie.
Now, sorry.
And most people have, I was joking, most people have blocked it out. It is in the regular
I remember it as you were describing it. So you don't ever see what the ghost looks like?
No.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it is just him, and it's all innuendo, but it's not really, because his pants zip open and they zoom in on it as the sheet. Some invisible entity is... Pretty. Is filleting
him? Is filleting him, that's
it's
right.
It's either that or fishing. Anyway.
Fishing what? Doing the old fisheroo?
filet. I don't like how fellatio and fillet of fish, you know. I don't want those words to have anything to do with each other as far as what they mean, their
Chris,
meanings.
You were just talking about how sensitive you are. And suddenly you're talking dirty fillet of fish.
Here we go now. I'm crying again. Here they come.
Be caller 22 to get Chris's first tears, and you will get some emotion. This thing's going to come together for this season.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many bells and whistles.
The first season lasted 5 years. Go ahead and check those episodes out. They are just sitting there on a shelf.
Yeah.
They just reside there. And may I suggest, like, episodes 30 through 90 or something. Here's my biggest fear with our new season.
Okay.
I've told all my stories.
A couple times.
Look,
me too. That's the nature of podcasting.
Apparently, I told that story about the bag of plastic 4 times. Someone said, that is the 4th time. But it wasn't just an insult to me, too. They said every time you were surprised to hear it.
Yes,
or
absolutely.
Or pretending to be.
Absolutely pretending, but also loving it.
You were pretending.
Every time you say feline AIDS, I'm like, here we go. I'm loving it. I know how this goes. Let's do the dance.
I'm my father's son. And I've said this before, but every time he would tell a story, my sister and I would listen. It's like, well, we've heard this. And then our joke was, oh, here's number 57 or whatever, like each story had a number.
But I think I've told you, we've had this conversation at least 3 times. But I've told you that my friend Danny Ceballos and I used to tell each other stories where the other person was there for the story. And we still told the story anyway.
And me knowing that story is why Danny Ceballos is a name that's already in my head.
That's right.
God, I love Danny.
He's the greatest.
This is an interesting experiment. Apparently, I'm the hot, sweaty one. The car is divided in half. One side is gross and murky.
Yeah.
And foggy.
It's because the AC is not on, but it's cold outside and warm in here.
Oh, so baby, it's cold outside.
But Chris's side is definitively steamier than my side.
Oh, baby, it's cold outside. Oh, Christmas. I'm so excited for it.
I'm so excited for
sexual
Christmas.
Sexual deviancy of Christmas.
Wait, what?
Oh, baby.
Of trapping you inside an apartment.
It's cold outside. Nope. Making her... It's cold outside, and that's where you're going. No, no, you're right.
Oh, making her go out.
Yeah, that's
get out
worse.
In the snow, you slut.
Put on this negligee and get in that snowbank.
Put on these skis and do what I say.
Santa's coming, and it's a sexy Christmas. Get outside!
That's how you make that song politically correct again. Is it's not a man trapping a woman into an apartment. By the way, we've had this conversation already. For sure.
I know we have.
But what we're doing this time is improving upon the past idea.
Right.
Right? We're saying we already had that conversation. What if we turn it on its ear?
Exactly. It's a lot like stand-up. You know how old some of my jokes are? Like, at least... There's still jokes I do that I've done for 15 years, but they didn't work up until like 3 years ago. I kept telling them, and now they're
Great.
Yeah, now they're good pieces of business. They make me money.
Yes.
Some of these jokes.
They're what you sometimes call the money makers.
Right.
And so you trust them, you rely on them,
mm-hmm.
they put bread on the table. You eat so much fucking bread, it is it's ridiculous.
I look like a squirrel getting ready for winter sometimes, but it's just French baguette.
It's baguette after baguette.
My cheeks are all bulbous with baguettes.
No cheese. You're like, oh, Chris, you want some goat cheese? No.
Mm-mm.
Bread only. Get out of my apartment.
I am on an inflammatory diet. If it doesn't go straight to my knuckles, I don't want it.
Gluten this, everybody.
I wish there was a cream that was just made out of dairy, sugar, and gluten that I could rub into my knuckles and elbows.
Isn't that Asper cream? Hot scum.
In the past. Ooh.
Steven.
I have talked about that, right? Their slogan used to be...
Asper cream?
You bet your Asper cream. And I was watching TV. I'm like, no way. You can't get away with that.
I don't know which one is ours.
They changed it to better use Asper cream.
No.
Yeah.
This really happened?
It was too sexual, yeah.
You bet your Asper cream is the best.
I know.
I would have bought it, I swear to God.
I know. I didn't even know what it was for. I slathered it all over my ass.
Asper cream. You bet your Asper fucking cream.
You know, a lot of these podcasts that aren't at number 3 currently without having any new episodes, you know what they don't have? Scone eating.
Eating.
Audible. Open, smacking.
Dry. The driest of all the baked goods.
Are we eating or am I doing Foley work for a makeout scene?
I'm also opening this bad paper. This is Steven's fucking nightmare.
I'm putting a warning in front of this section.
We're doing crinkling and smacking. Oh, sorry.
No, I'm glad you did that.
But I can't summon the word car. Or even.
You're full of scones.
I just go, ooh.
You're scone drunk, Chris.
You have to judge the tone of my ooh. Either ooh, I suddenly felt euphoric or we're about to get T-boned.
Or one in the same.
Yeah.
We were talking.
Have you ever been T-boned? It feels pretty good.
It's, we were talking about that movie, Crash. Not the one about racism, but the one where people get an erotic charge out of crashing cars. Do you remember that one?
I remember thinking I was watching the other one, and then next thing you know...
For real?
There's bloody bodies and my pants are down. No, I didn't. I did watch that one first, yeah.
The racism one or the erotic one?
Sorry, yeah. The erotic one.
You just seem to say, yeah.
Well, the scone is more delicious than I anticipated. And it's very good.
It's so good. This is like we're having a little Christmas party right now. Doesn't that feel like it?
You do know I love Christmas, right?
I think so. I mean, I don't think we've talked about, this might be a new topic. Are you ready to go into it?
I haven't rehearsed it for 5 years while on air, but here we go.
Let's try it.
I'm not religious and I didn't grow up with religion really. Except for what?
The camp you went to. Go ahead.
Exactly. Thank you. But I've told that story.
Yeah, don't tell it.
I've added to it though.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to just say straight
the nipple stigmata?
What?
Well, I fell off a dock at it and cut my nipples off. And what I left out was, I do remember, because I was holding them because I was embarrassed and it hurt. and then it left little nipple blood marks on my palms. And some intern said that's stigmata, and I had to go to a separate room and I had to talk to the head pastor.
Did you tell me this already?
I'm like, no, but the jokey part I'm trying to figure out is
sorry.
I don't remember during the... Yeah, no, I haven't figured it out. Say sorry no more.
Oh, okay.
I don't recall during the crucifixion, you know, coming up and giving him a titty twister or whatever. I don't know what...
Right.
Once it comes to turning it into a joke, I don't have a lot of skills.
I get it. You know, it's in process. But that story in and of itself is a wonderful, rich anecdote.
It was the most horrifying week I've ever had as a child. I was just hearing voices. I was hearing what I thought were demons. I was hearing in the background children drowning in the lake. But I think I've said this before. It was just
all of that.
Yep, I have. It was just the other kids. They're booger whistles as they slept. Some sounded like screaming.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, I'm not that religious, but I love, like last night at the place across, they had some white frosted tree, this artificial tree with wires, and they had done nothing to primp it. Or crimp it? Trump.
To trump it?
I think I just had a stroke. The point, they did nothing to it to make it look good, and so I spent about an hour on it. And moved the ornaments, and they all watched. They're like, "You're really good at this." And I'm like, "Yes, I love Christmas."
Sorry, where were you?
At Killer Shrimp, the establishment across. Killer Shrimp, it's across from my house.
You buried the lead that you were in public doing this at
Yeah, and the staff was just kind of watching me. I'm like, that's not a Christmas tree. And then it was like almost in fast motion. There's a footstool. It was a perfect setup. And it really looked good in the end. I'm like, I'm actually pretty good at getting a tree ready.
That's fucking hilarious.
But what is primming the tree? What is it called?
Trimming the tree.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's dirty. Everything's a little bit dirty.
Trimming the tree.
It's trimming the tree.
Yes. Nothing's more seductive than other trimmings, like your bangs or...
Or meats, different meats.
I'm going to trim myself of my clothes and come right back. Let me go slip into something more trimmable. So sexy.
And you're still in the middle of Bubba Gum Shrimp. Sir, please, you have to wear pants in here.
That's why they call it Killer Shrimp.
It's so killer. You just made your own dick joke.
I did. Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
That's kind of powerful.
Yeah, there's we're looking at graffiti that says R.I.P. McCain. There's a young picture of him, kind of a woodcut.
Yeah, somebody...
Stenciled over someone...
They spray paint stenciled a picture of McCain in his Navy uniform.
But you would think a fan of his wouldn't really be into the graffiti arts.
No, I would think that his wife or whoever sprayed that up there would be more of like a... You know, what, cross-stitcher?
That is, right. She's like, no one's buying my pillows anymore. I gotta hit the streets.
I gotta take this message to the people. Rest in peace, my husband.
I do like the idea of older couple just doing that in broad daylight, doing graffiti.
And then walking back over to their mansion over here.
We did good today, honey.
Close the gate.
Now let's break dance in the living room.
We'll live whatever goddamn life we want.
Let's watch that scene from Cocoon where the old people are breakdancing to get in the mood.
I have to apologize. If my sister was listening to this and she heard me eating this Rice Krispie treat,
right.
She would lose her fucking mind.
Yeah, it's not...
It's pretty gross.
No one wants to hear it.
I apologize. Steven, is it? Can you hear it a lot?
No, it's not too bad. It's more of when it's like the crinkling part is probably worse.
But... I put it down. It's a gorgeous winter day here in Burbank. Really pretty.
It is. There is certain memories that get triggered by the smell of, like, the sun coming out right after the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one specific one, and I don't know why, just a day in my hometown, and I was maybe 16, and I remember every time it rains, I think of that day. And I don't think there's any importance to it other than me as a young teen thinking, boy, it's really pretty out right now.
Yeah. And it just brings you back to that day.
It's always that day.
Yeah.
It's always that day. Strawberry Fields Forever also triggers that. That song triggers that visual. It's so weird how certain...
Same day?
Yes.
Same moment.
So I always wonder why, because it's not often, but it's really vivid and it's almost like I can see it. So what happened that day? Did some ghost fly through me? What? There has to be a reason that.
Were you in school? Were you walking home from school? Did you go?
I was having a bad day. I think I was doing door to door sales for Serendipity Ventures.
Yes. So you were. This was just a moment of mercy in the otherwise terrible day.
It was a terrible day. I had sold no coupon books. I got threatened. I think I'm almost. That was a day. A dog got bit because I know where I was at the end of Brooks, and a dog bit me. I went onto a guy's porch. I'm like, do you need to get your oil changed? And then a dog But it was really, the coupon book was great. There was, I would go to the coupons. I'd be like, look, this is a half price oil change just down the street. This book is $6 with this one coupon or coupon, depending on what part of the country you're from. I was very savvy about linguistics when I...
People in.
People, come around, gather around. Elixirs and coupon books, but not really elixirs. And that is like...
All elixirs in the coupon book.
This one, half off elixirs. This one's for crooked legs and dry spells. one coupon paid for the book, and I would show it to them, and they're still like, well, I don't know. When does it expire? You have 2 years, and I'm a child also. Please buy this.
How old were you?
It was my first job. I had to be 15.
Shit.
And I know I've talked about this, but the other guys I worked with were grown-up men who drank a lot.
Yeah.
And one time we had to pick them up at the Elbow Room, and the two guys I had to walk around in a neighborhood with that day. This was a different day. They were just fighting in the parking lot, bleeding,
yes.
Black eye, bloody nose.
Yes.
And then they got, and they were reeked of alcohol, and they got in the car, and I'm like, I'm so scared.
Did you say that out loud?
I know. I was just like, I get it, boys. Yep. The old poke and tickle in the parking lot. I gotcha. Every once in a while, a man's got to, this is what I said. I was like, every once in a while, a man's got to tell another man that he's his friend by punching him. You boys will be all right.
Hey, did you see this coupon is worth $6?
You know what? I think I'm, guys, oh, you're punching again. Anyway, this is the coupon I'm going to lead with, the oil change, once you guys are done hitting each other.
And when you're done hitting each other, here's some half-off gauze. Wrap it around your head.
I don't know if it was the violence or just having to go out into the streets and be scared to knock on doors as much as it is. I very much dislike sales.
Yes, me too.
And I figured that out early on. And my dad told me I wouldn't like it. If you have to set aside, like, because you kind of have to trick someone, even if you believe in the product, like I did 2 years later with Cutco knives. You are, you know, I would walk into a house and they would have holes in their placemats, or they looked like they didn't have extra money. Certainly not for a knife set where it's like $50 per knife. Like, they're really expensive, you know?
Uh-huh.
Wait, are you buying time so you can chew and swallow? Or is this knife story a snooze fest?
Both!
There's a lot of pressure with this new season.
I know. I agree. That's why I'm just not saying anything at all.
What if someone's tuning in? That's not going to help. People just tuning in. Yeah, Karen, for the first time, it's just... She doesn't talk, and this other guy tells really boring sales stories.
Here's the reason I like your Cutco stories. It's because it reminds me of every job I had felt like the worst thing that was happening to me ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because I don't like working, and I'm very lazy. And I remember one time I hadn't gotten a job, and I called my parents to borrow money for the 12th time, and my mom goes, do you think you don't have to work? And I was like, yes. I said yes back to her, like, finally you understand me. And she was just like, you fucking asshole. So I know those, like, anytime you get a job where you had to somehow weirdly be like, hey, I'm a confident salesperson, even though I'm 19 and I have the weirdest outfit on and I just want to lay down and drink.
Right, right. I never felt good about any job. Well...
Favorite job.
My favorite job, I think, that was like a real job was when I just walked into a t-shirt shop and I showed them my drawings. Or it was my favorite process of getting hired ever.
Okay.
Where I walked in, the guy was kind of intimidating. He's like, oh, you want to work here? Here's your first job. And he slid over this order and it was... a description of what these people wanted. It was some rafting group.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down and I drew up a logo by hand. And they're like, okay, great. And then they went down and printed it. And then the people got the shirts like it was a last minute order. And I did the job. He's like, okay, you're hired. But it was actual, it was an actual job in the
church. Them testing you out was turned into the product that got sold and made money.
Thank you. Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was like a cool, it was like, oh, you want to audition for this commercial? Roll them. Hey, do you like cat food? Or a better example.
Do you like cat food?
We all do.
Finally, cats cute food for humans.
Just a, hold on a minute. Natural balance, you know, Patton, Van Patton, you know,
Dick Van Patton.
Dick Van Patton.
Yes.
He, you know, he's CEO of Natural Balance Foods.
I didn't know that. I'm so glad you told me.
Well, I went to interview some bulldog that skateboards, and he was like. He was in the Rose Bowl parade snowboarding that year.
That's not the job you name as your favorite job. You fucking come in with, I printed up shirts as your favorite job, and you fucking interviewed a skateboarding bulldog?
A lot of bulldogs. A little baby cute ones.
No.
The bulldogs love jumping on skateboards. And then this float one year, and this dog has passed, but he had his own calendar. He had his own tour bus.
Whoa.
He was a famous bulldog.
I've seen him. I think, is he the one where he actually kicks along?
Yes, he was very good. Bulldogs will, at first they're biting your ankle on the side of the board, but eventually they get on it and they're like, wait a minute, I get it, this is fun.
Yeah.
And suddenly you have on your hands a skateboarding bulldog.
It's the greatest.
But they're going to bite you at first. Dogs are unpredictable. But yeah. Anyway, I interviewed this dog and at the end, they wanted some product thing and it wasn't Dick Van Patten or whoever his name is, but it was
Dick
another.
Dick Van Patten?
Yeah, yeah. Not Dick, but...
Vince.
Vinny Van Patten. But they had a dog food that it said on it, also, you can have it, adults can have it.
And no.
Yes. And it just tasted like Dinty Moore beef stew or whatever.
Are you sure they didn't mean adult dogs can have it?
I guarantee he said this food, the quality of this food is so good that we advertise that people can eat it too. And it seriously said it on the can. And I ate it and it tasted nothing like dog food. It tasted like people food. So no. I was like, there's no way this is good for dogs.
Did you warm it up first?
I ate the whole can cold and it was good.
No.
It was on camera. It was like, well, here's the dog food. You know, it's kind of the same. I got a tattoo on camera. You know, I would do anything. I'm
Chris,
a journalist.
That is true. But you have now told the fourth most mind-blowing story. You ate dog food as a commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Happily.
Yeah. And I haven't told
that. I've never heard this one.
Okay.
Do you think this is related to or caused by... when your mom made you what you thought was tuna sandwiches and it was cat food sandwiches.
If you give me permission to retell, there's a lot of new people listening. It was just, yes, it might have, but that was horrifying because that was very much cat food
in
sandwich form.
And not in any way cleared for adults or children to eat.
I was in sixth grade and I bit a sandwich and put it down and my friends were staring at me and I'm like, it's cat food. And my friends all smelled it and cat food's unmistakable and still makes me gag.
It's so gross.
I love cats. I hate their food.
Yeah.
And I'm partial about the litter box.
You could be convinced, but right now you're not so sure.
It would take a few more taste tests. I think that's why I never got sick as a kid.
You'd already eaten a bunch of stuff.
Well, it was a sandbox, but my cat used it for his raisins, and I'm 3 years old. What am I going to do, not put it in my mouth?
You're just going to become like one of the X-Men with all of your...
I really do, because I'm not kidding. As a kid, I had worms all the time, and it was because I always had a hand, you know, I'd play in cat poop in my sandbox.
This
is gross. I know it's gross. But
this is gross just in case you're not entirely grossed out.
If you aren't listening to the story so far, let me interrupt you by saying it's been gross. And I got a certificate at the end of fifth grade that my entire elementary school career, I never missed a day of school being sick. And I really think that it's because I was just... had a steady diet of cat shit.
There's no germs could survive past your soft palate.
There's some of these kids out there just sick all the time, and it's because their parents never gave them cat poop.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's a huge mistake.
Anyway, I went home, and my mom, she had made a sandwich in a hurry. There was a can of deviled ham next to a can of, and there was deviled ham in the cat's bowl, and I got the cat food sandwich.
And that that cat can describe that day, it just like your rain smell day, because he got deviled ham and it was so beautiful.
Right.
And then he noticed how gorgeous the clouds were.
Right.
And every time he smells deviled ham, he's like, oh, when I was 8. This fucking woman gave me deviled ham. And oh, it was a September morning.
It was a woman that was always there, but she was there for the first time somehow.
I was just glad it wasn't a cucumber.
Yeah, if you tap, imagine, because all cats have is their taste buds.
Sure. Oh, and they're really good eyesight.
Yeah, and they're spiky, spiky, weird tongue. And penis.
And
they have a barbed penis and
they
tongue.
They do have a barbed penis. Many animals do. It's just so they can keep that lady around for a little while they're romancing her, as one might want to say.
It's not. It's for drinking. It's not for sexual purposes.
It's for drinking.
Cat's tongues are not barbed for her pleasure. Karen! It's horrifying. It's just too...
That's why they make so much noise when they're mating on a fence outside your apartment.
It's a painful barb process.
It's a Kama Sutra style attack.
Oh, God. It's the worst, and it's so true. That's why cats are shrieking in pain. It's because sex is no walk in the park for
it is
them.
Borderline BDSM, which stands for dirty,
bad,
dirty
meow,
sex meows.
Bad, dirty sex meows. BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, you're better at that. I panic when it comes down to like
the fill in the blank joke?
Yeah, or yep. It's not an acronym. Acronyms when the initials spell a word and people go, BDSM.
Right.
Like DINAR is an acronym.
DINAR is an acronym,
but
right.
But my MMFM is not.
That's
one
right.
One of your podcasts is an acronym. The other one is their initials.
That's right.
People misuse that all the time. And you know how I'm super smart, right?
Yeah. I sure do. So you're just kind of here to teach us as much as while I eat, as much as anything else.
Mostly about grammar. When you're done using that mouth to throw that scone down, you're going to use it to speak right around me. I don't know who that was. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I think it's important for us to explore. Remember when we were going to do this in the very beginning, we had this idea that we would do this podcast as a series of characters driving around? Remember that?
I mean...
It was like first pass idea.
Years ago, the James and Domian episode was like that. Is that not what we're talking about?
No.
Okay. I figured that would make you angry.
I'm pretending to be angry so I can keep eating this thing.
what kind of... Karen, I'm afraid it's lapsed into a silent state of rage. Let's wait until she swallows. I mean, gets in a better mood.
Fills herself with marshmallow crispy surprises.
Every episode, we're just hiding that you're having snacks.
Yep.
And I'm like, with the fact that you're angry instead.
Yep. They're getting louder and louder. So it's like, why would you eat crudité on a podcast? It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Watch this. I can cover it. They'll never fucking know. They'll never know what I'm doing over here.
I'm just angry. No, but I do like that idea. I mean, you and I aren't really character actors. So.
Not in the least.
But you're good at it. Someone said, who sings your song? The song you heard at the beginning of this. It's a beautiful song. I think you'll agree, one of my favorite songs. Isn't it one of your favorite songs
it's
that you came up with
songs.
In a pinch,
yes.
Like overnight?
Yep. I wrote that song in like one sitting. It was nutso.
And it's really good. And someone said, who sings that song? A fan of yours. And I'm like, I can't believe you don't know about this album. And I forwarded some songs from Live at the Bootleg.
Thank you.
And it's really good.
Thank you.
It had been a while since I listened to your album. It's so good.
You were there when I recorded it.
I was. And I was just like, yeah, this is all right. And now in retrospect, like I don't know if it's the recording quality or just my tastes have become, you know, sharper.
More refined, yeah.
More refined, that's what I mean.
It's because you went to grad school.
Man, it was those last year of college really helped me realize how good your album is.
Thank you so much. You know,
it's so good. And you got to be, I'm serious, we've talked about it jokingly, but you got to start this rock band.
I was going to say, you know, when I did it at the time, I was really scared to do it, but I knew I had to, like, get it down and make sure it was recorded. And the only thing I could do, because I'm such a self-saboteur, is I was like, just do it. You're not going to like it no matter how good or bad it is. You're not going to like it. So just do it and walk away and don't listen to it for like 5 years. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And that's what made it okay, because it's so horrifyingly vulnerable to write and sing songs.
Did you see your old crappy Honda Fit?
No.
Ugh, it looks like crap. Your life is better now.
We've really progressed since those fucking days.
I got the same one. But the... and then also... Oh, my point. Yeah, I also forgot that I watched a bunch of Mr. Show stuff, and you're good on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. The sketch where... Bob and David are both competing to describe the sunset to you, and you're a blind...
Oh, yes. The blind girl sketch.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's offensive now. A lot of things are.
But I wasn't really blind. I was just doing it for attention.
Right. She wasn't... Right. Okay. Right.
Yeah. So that could best. Be even worse or much, much better. Scott Aukerman wrote that sketch.
I think it does make it better.
Lots of people like that sketch.
Hey, Aukerman has his moments, man.
Come on. Give it up.
Give it up for the Auk. Give it up for the Auk. Like, that's his, if he was a DJ.
Yeah. Or if he was a touring comic.
Holy. Speaking of both, I did a show last night as a comic.
What club?
It was in near your neck of the woods, right on Lancashire there. Uh-huh. And it was, so North Hollywood. And it was just behind a bar, but it was really fun. Like, Lori Kilmartin was on it, and
awesome.
Salman DiGiorgio. And
genius.
I add DiGiorgio. I don't know why.
There's no D, yeah.
Yeah, it's because of that pizza. Or because of Deborah DiGiovanni. Who's hilarious. I don't think anyone makes me laugh more than her.
The people you've named so far are all of my favorite comedians.
And then this Canadian guy was very funny. And then, it was a bunch of great comics.
That's awesome.
And after that, I was hungry, and my friend and I went to some sushi place, and there was a DJ that greeted us at the door next to a guy who was so intense and scratching his face and Ooh. Looked like a cartoon character that was a meth addict.
Cool.
But they were in good moods, and they said, come on in, this place is the funnest. And it was a sushi place, and the sushi was good, and the DJ kept getting on the mic and saying that this guy used to make sushi for Kim Kardashian, and he'd wave his hand like, yeah, and look at me now. And I'm not making any... or maybe it's all believable and boring. But it was an interesting exercise in, like, getting warmed up. Because I walked in and I was, like, apprehensive to be there. And then this guy, who was dressed kind of like Guy Fieri, and his DJ name was Crocodile Joe. he would get, and he'd play, like, y'all ready for this? And, like,
yes.
Jock jams, and then come my lady, you're my sugar pie, honey,
yes.
baby. All those, that era of bad music.
Which goes perfectly with sushi.
But then he made us all do YMCA, and he made everyone get up that was eating there and do the hand movements.
No.
And I'm like, no, I don't want to.
No.
But everyone was doing it. And I was saying no. I said no 10 times. Next thing you know, there was a Congo line,
oh
and I
God.
Was in the middle. But everyone was willing to do it, and I'm like, why am I so uptight? Why do I think I'm better than this shit? And then after this guy did that and made everyone feel uncomfortable, everyone was so loose and dancing and talking. Everyone was in a great mood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this Guy Fieri type guy who's like, made me roll my eyes and was like a kind of annoying, really broke... us all out of our shells, and I, at the end, I loved him.
Well, that's great.
We, everyone felt great in that room.
Can I just ask a couple quick questions?
About the sushi DJ?
Yeah, I'm gonna, I need to really kind of investigate this.
Okay.
How many drinks did you have between the time you walked in, sat down, and the time you were like, you know what, I'm gonna give over to the YMCA?
Zero, I haven't been drinking like
that. Oh!
Trying to get my face skinny for my special.
Oh, because that's very telling. Because it's, that's to me,
right.
All those rock and roll sushi places are just, hey, alcoholics, come eat here because you're not even going to eat anyway. You just want to fuck around.
Right.
No. I don't want to go to a restaurant where people are involved in the experience that I'm having and making me do things.
Everyone else there, I think, was drunk except me and my friends. So,
okay.
And I went in there. I'm like, I have to eat now. And I stopped at two places before that and they were closing. You know, it was after the show. It was 10. We went in there. I'm like, I don't care if these guys are obnoxious crack DJs. I'm hungry and I'm eating their bad sushi, even if it kills me. And sushi can kill you.
It absolutely can.
Yeah, it's you know, get some sea urchin in there.
But then you basically, you turned your attitude around of the energy.
I stayed like 2.5 hours. I was having so much fun.
That's good.
It was like being at a roller rink as a grumpy old single dad or something.
But then he cracked you. His energy for life and mm-hmm. for sushi and for bad music cracked you open.
Yeah, it really, he did. It was great. I think I hugged him a couple times.
Wow.
It was a weird experience. So, I don't ever want to see him again or be there again.
Well, he already called you. You have to eat brunch with him on Saturday. And he wants to know if you guys are going to spend the holidays together.
God damn it. What have he called on our hotline
on the
right
latte
now?
Hotline?
Hello, console phone.
You said you were my boyfriend.
I'd had a lot of sushi, Crocodile Joe.
I didn't really mean it. I just wanted it to be a casual thing.
Here's the thing. I let my mouth run. People listen to this. Crocodile Dungeon could be listening right now.
God, could you imagine? And he's blasting it across a sushi restaurant and being like jumping up and down, trying to be like a power DJ, but it's to this bullshit.
And he had cargo shorts. He was the whole package deal. Another first time story. Brought to you fresh, never before told.
You know,
because it happened last night.
It's almost an argument for retelling stories. No offense.
Right.
But I mean,
because that one was a stinker and the ones
I'm just saying it's great to work out your plot points.
So you're saying Crocodile Joe in his sushi place might be a great story in 5-6 years?
I would marinate it at least for 1 year.
Put it in a bowl of vinegar because you're going to be great one day.
I'm usually not this attack-oriented comedically with you on this podcast. It's my new season two, character.
I expected you to be this way because we got to hold this to a higher standard.
Yeah, that's right.
There's more listeners. There's more scrutiny.
That's right. And I think attack comedy is coming back. Mm-hmm. I think I could be the new Rickles of podcasting if I really tried.
Just casual friend roasting.
Friend roast slams and pranks. I'll definitely keep your eyes out for the prank.
Oh, God, I love pranks. You know, my favorite is when you come up behind me and you tap my left shoulder, but bam, you're over on my right.
Right in your
and
fucking
I wrench
ear.
My neck over. I'm like, no one's there.
Yeah. And then when you turn your head you're the other way, I have a screwdriver up by your ear.
Oh, I thought we went by that haunted house again.
Isn't it kind of weird?
It is the haunted house.
It is the haunted house.
Should we drive by it again?
Oh, God. I don't think we got some pictures last time, but didn't have our new, I don't know. What? So you're saying this podcast will be on like a website?
Yes.
Well, can we add pictures?
Are you doing the character of my dad?
Do you want to tell people about that or do you not want to?
Oh, I could. My dad, we started this podcast network. Georgia Hard Shark and I have started Exactly Right Podcast Network. If you don't know, that's where you are right now.
Yeah, if you blindly turned on your computer and ended up on the homepage.
You just kind of put your hands all over the keyboard and now you're here with us. Hey, welcome. My dad has tried to get me to explain in a way that is meaningful to him what the fuck a podcast network is. And I've tried and tried, and I always use some kind of a radio metaphor.
Right.
But it's like then he just immediately thinks of radio. And he's like, well, then how, do you have to wait to put it on at a certain time?
Or yeah, or he thought everyone comes in and in real time, they come into the studio and yes. lay down some tracks and it plays streams via the airwaves or
yes.
whatever.
Like kind of like a Motown situation where like every show on the Exactly Right Network, we all sit in there with cans on.
Yeah, don't.
Watching each other record.
Don't just sit there singing to the bucket, you drifter.
So I finally said, it's like we're Netflix, and then everybody brings their movies to post on our website. And he finally got it. But that also kind of is very reductive and makes it sound, you know, like we're not really doing anything. We're more than just a website, everybody.
We make ear movies.
Yes! There it is. That's what we
sound,
like.
Sound, no picture.
Okay, but wait.
That's why I'm saying on the website we can have a picture of this haunted house. We looped around the block.
Okay.
Down the way a little bit further.
Okay, because this one's kind of nice.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem haunted. It seems expensive.
I have a sneaking suspicion that...
Oh, wait, that is the haunted house.
Is it?
Or it's... Yeah, it's this one, the one next to it, I guess.
I don't think so.
What?
It's wait. Just a similar...
Did I go down this the wrong
is what
street?
No, this was the street we were on, and the house isn't here anymore. Or it's over there.
Oh, like further down.
But yeah, I'm turning around.
These are beautiful homes. We're sorry to upset you, Mr. Amityville.
The disappearing house. Is that scary, a house disappearing entirely?
Yes. Know. Have you not seen Poltergeist? Because guess what's underneath?
Skeletons.
Disgruntled Native Americans. Wasn't that the thing? They were adding a pool to yeah. Craig T. Nelson's house,
yep.
and they specifically said it was a Native graveyard?
They built the entire housing tract over. The guy yells, Craig T. Nelson yells, you just move the headstones. And they basically didn't move
right.
the bodies. They just built all the houses over a Native American graveyard. And those... The Native Americans in the graveyard were pissed,
yes.
and the poltergeists began.
I think you found it. I think we are
is this
approaching
it?
The real haunted house.
Okay, get ready.
Where is it?
Is it not this one?
These things lift up and float around.
They really do.
I hate this about these.
No, it's not these ones either.
No, it isn't.
Are we too far over?
It's just gone. There were, I mean, and I mentioned this, I've been watching a lot of these haunting, you know, they're movies about hauntings, documentary series about hauntings.
Yeah.
And it's made me think about my own, you know,
hauntings.
Things I could never shake that still are in my brain. Just
ghosts?
No, just weird emotions that are triggered by a certain sound or a smell. Not unlike the happy rainy day thing.
Right.
But I don't, like, when I was a kid, I used to hear... Background noise would suddenly amplify, and it would be in school during a test, and so kids, you could hear their pencils scratching papers. All of a sudden, that would have an emotion attached to it, and it sounded like, instead of pencils, loud voices going like, and it scared the hell out of me to where I would almost faint.
Yeah.
Now, either I was being haunted... Or I have a special power I've never tapped into, which is what my mom's friend who rubs crystals said.
Mm.
Or I was just having little anxiety attacks.
Sure.
What do you think?
Well, I've had the same thing happen where my hearing goes really strong for a second.
Right.
And it almost feels like... The thing I think of is the conspiracy theorists who believe that there are, like, radio transmissions in their head, which is also... I think of that because that's also a sign of schizophrenia.
Right.
And then I go, is it coming for me today? Is today the day I go down? And then I just get real relaxed. And then it goes away.
Right.
And I think there are things... Like, my friend Bradford, one time when we were working at Ellen... He was
That's
a producer.
Her nickname for Bradley Whitford. They're very good friends. Continue.
Not that house, right?
No, I can't find it.
So he was working one day and he had one eye that was much worse, had a stronger prescription in his glasses than his other eye.
Uh-huh.
And his eye clicked into focus and he could see better with the bad eye for like 2 hours.
Oh, no.
And then it went away. And I just think that that's how our bodies are sometimes. There's like weird shit brain stuff going on we could never know.
I know, and it's when you experience the high functioning or... Mm. I remember when, towards the end of college, I was all excited to... Or just of a semester, I was excited to move to this snowboarding town and and just snowboard and be with my friends, and I was it. But that week prior to that, I was calm all the time. I was doing great in school. I was skateboarding better. And my interactions with people, they would go, "Wow, you're in a really good mood lately." I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know what it is." And the whole time, I was paranoid that it was going to go away.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, "You know what? This isn't going to last forever." Something, for whatever reason, endorphins. I thought maybe I was sick and my body was trying to fight something, which right. very well could have been the case.
And so it just was making you feel better in general.
Yeah. For some reason, my chemically, I was just winning, or for lack very much of a better term.
You were tiger's bloody all over the fucking place? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, I don't. I wish I could have thought of a better thing. I'm really upset that I said winning. But I was.
It's the best way to explain it.
Everything.
It's how you felt.
Everything I was doing, and it was coming effortlessly. And even physically, it's so weird that physically I was performing better.
Physically, you were slowly turning into Charlie Sheen, and you didn't realize that you had a widow's peak and a really flary nostrils. And you're like, "I love it."
Many, many, many addictions. But I do remember being scared that it would go away, and then when it did go away, I was kind of bummed out. And,
sure.
But I kind of let it go, but...
Well, you have
it,
to.
It is a true thing. It is true. The UFOs are controlling our emotions. That is what you said, right?
Our emotions. A UFO made me cry. Anyway, what show do I like these days? The UFOs are controlling me. It just happened. That audio thing I'm talking about just happened to me either yesterday or the day before at work. And it was really one of those things where I was like, because you know people are talking about 5G... wireless is like really strong and we don't really know how it could affect us. Somebody right. told me some conspiracy theory about 5G wireless that has really gotten into my head and freaked me out in a major way. Because I don't even know if it's true. I don't know, whatever. But then I just start thinking of these days, there's so much like shit in the air
right.
because we're all using computers all the time.
Right.
So, you know, who the fuck knows?
And it's proven that the equivalent, these are microwaves. It's the same as the 80s, you know, when you were like, "Don't put your head right there." Like right. I could feel oddly cool air blowing into my face.
Microwave?
Yeah, that okay. is nuclear, like,
waste?
Either that or, but I've heard that signals for cell phones are very similar to microwaves,
and yeah.
they do cause brain. That's proven that it's bad that we're putting these up to our skulls.
Yes, I think it's like the whole idea is we have to let everything go because we are killing ourselves.
Right,
for right. sure.
And it might sound selfish or like you don't have any real problems if all you worry about is your own health, but that I'm sorry. Call me problemless because I'm so worried.
About lately. Your health?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. That my phone's going to reach out and grab me. Reach out and stab me. I'm going to reach out and stab you.
Abracadabra. I'm your phone.
I'm going to stab you.
I'm going to kill you. What? What's wrong? I'm just your phone.
What's the policy on song parodies like that?
When we take a song and make it way worse?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have to legally pay anything?
Yeah, I think we're going to go to jail for sure.
Okay, good. Good.
It's such a...
Need something new to worry about.
It's been raining all day. It's not raining right this second, but it's all moody and cloudy outside.
It. Karen, you found the house.
What?
You found the house.
The haunted house, Steven.
This is a scary house.
Oh my God, it is the haunted house.
Look at it. We did it. We fucking stuck to it and we did it.
The light is still on.
Look at it.
Reminding me of that boat I saw 2 days into a Caribbean cruise.
What?
It was a boat not unlike this house, except it was smaller and had a little roof on it and a little lantern that was flickering on and off.
What?
It was a boat in the middle of the ocean. I was on a cruise with my family and was looking out on the patio. It was nighttime and there was just a boat out. We had, it was a 2 day trip, so we were going, I think, to Mazatlan or something, somewhere in Central America.
Okay.
From Texas, I think. And there was just this boat out in the middle of nowhere. And no one was on it.
A boat that looked like a house church.
And it was rocking to where you could see the floor of the boat and everything in it, and there was not a person in the boat.
Oh, fuck.
And so everyone on the rest of the cruise was like, so, do you see the ghost boat? Everyone agreed that it was a ghost boat.
Yes.
And that house reminded me of it.
Shit.
Yeah.
Also, that house on the shutters, they're like weird crosses. They look like T's, but they're even, as opposed to a crucifix where the cross is on the top part, it's in the middle. But it looks equally like satanic.
Right.
And wrong.
That's the kind of house that in a movie that's about... Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh my God, did you throw up? Because you're scared of ghost boats?
You know how ghosts can make me throw up and get diarrhea? Of course. Sorry.
Chris is watching The Haunting of Hill House and just projectile vomiting onto his own television.
The only movie that doesn't make me do that, ironically, The Exorcist.
Really?
The vomit scene.
You've never felt more comfortable than when you watch that girl puke?
It's the only time my stomach feels coated and healthy. Is watching just... Blair, Linda Blair.
Spit pea soup at the wall.
Industry secret. That wasn't split pea soup. That was split pea dog food.
No. But it's made for humans.
Yeah. Yes, that house does. There's little crucifixes in the window, and it is the... It's so cartoonishly a haunted house that in a movie about haunted houses, you would be like, well, serves you right, you guys. You should have said no to the realtor.
You're being silly, moving into a house that haunted.
Well, the price is right, honey. Well, I'm just worried that our son won't stop drawing these drawings. You mean the crayon ones of us dead? There we go, movie written. You're welcome.
Go ahead, make it. We dare you.
Starring Elliot from E.T.
I like that series, The Haunting of Hill House, or whatever it is.
I really like the ending of it. You didn't like the ending? Did you like the ending?
No, that's what I was going to say is I didn't get all the way through because I don't want to watch families fight.
Right.
If you have a haunted house, throw some fucking plates at the wall and get it going. I don't want to watch people disagree about whether or not the house was unfair to them or their sister.
I muscled through that, and I think you're talking about the scene where they're all at a funeral and they are all fighting. But it was so well acted, and I think
it is, for sure.
The arguments and the points they're making were so realistic that part felt like a especially tense episode of Togetherness or something. And I'm like,
exactly.
Wait, this show is being changing genres on me. And then the end is this kind of hopeful Interstellar type thing.
Okay.
And it's not.
You mean
like,
the end of the series or the end of that episode?
Rather than, you know, other horror movies where it's like, and the whole time it was just the devil. The end. Everything's bad.
All killing. They're all dead. The devil wins again.
Yeah. I mean, I liked Hereditary, but it's like, oh, the end is the devil? What a cop-out. Come on.
That movie was freaky as shit, though.
It was.
It was really good.
The end, I was like, come on. It could have been about those... Sorry, these are all spoilers, by the way.
Yeah.
But
we'll put a spoiler warning also at the top of
Right. Spoiler warning. Don't leave your milk out.
trigger warning. There's going to be spoiled milk in this episode.
Spoiler trigger warning. This car has a spoiler on it, and I have a gun. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I have to bring it.
Sorry I have to bring it to that level of comedy.
I'm sorry I love guns.
I just Toni Collette's character was... making miniature replicas of things happening. I mean, that... I don't know why there shouldn't have been some, like, well, surprise, it was just happening in this world that is in her psychosis or in her miniature. Like, it was... That was such a great... That would have been a better way to end it other than... But maybe they wanted you to think that, and in the end, it's like, surprise, it's the devil. Everything's bad. This kid who you were rooting for, this nice boy, he's screwed.
He's the devil himself.
Go home and deal with your emotions. Not all movies are supposed to make you feel like It's a Wonderful Life.
But I do agree that the devil is not specific enough to make it scary because I'm Catholic. I already went through that phase of like, I'm scared the devil's going to get me. It's such a generalized kind of thing. It's much more interesting when it's like, it's actually the boy. You know what I mean? And he's just killing people. It's better.
Right.
It's more grounded.
Yeah.
I can get behind it.
Sure.
I do like that boy actor, Alex Wolff, that's in it. His mom was on 30-something.
He's a great, great boy actor.
Well, of all the boy actors that I've seen, he's the top boy.
Pardon me, boy. Boy. How are you at acting, boy?
Why, I love it.
Sing into the can.
Scream into this bed.
Yo, you've got the goods. Oh. Oh, we love old-timey voices.
Shit, old-timey voices and new-timey Netflix.
How, when, and I don't think, the only thing I know about it is Roxy Music is on the soundtrack, but that movie Legend, where Tim Curry's the devil, that was almost too scary for me, his makeup.
Is it David Bowie that you mean?
No.
Is Tim Curry the devil in that?
Tim Curry is the big, muscly, scary devil in that Tom Cruise as a child.
Oh, right. Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yes, when he and the girl from Ferris Bueller fall in love.
Rest, yes.
She's in it with him.
Rest, rest,
the
rest.
The Scooby-Doo movie.
Rest, roll. Thank you. I do lots of characters, and Scooby-Doo, wastefully, is fucking one of them.
I love that Scooby-Doo says thank you absolutely, perfectly, clearly, and everything else is an R. Thank you.
That was like at the end of a performance. That was me being me again.
Oh, you broke back and asked Chris to say
you. Oh, rank you. I will rank you all. Roaring 8, roaring 7. Rank you. Oh, I don't know how you feel about puns, but I hate myself.
Most of the time I don't get them. I'm always like, what?
No, it's good. You have selective memory, selective acknowledgement of art.
I have a very light laughing headache right now. I've really enjoyed this episode that we just done.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, me too. I was so excited to be back in the studio.
God
car.
Damn, it's been so long.
It has, and we were taking a break, and I'm okay. But a lot of people were saying, "Hey, what's up?"
I know.
I'm starting to get upset.
We worried a lot of people unnecessarily.
Well, it feels good. At first, I was like, "Yeah, get off my back." But I mean, it's. I appreciate it, and I respond. I'm not getting enough now to where I like can't. I try to respond to all of them, you know. Be like, yep, it's coming.
The messages, yeah.
December 3rd.
I don't respond to any. I can't get into it.
No, you've been dealing with this for a while, and it's many hundreds of times the people.
Well, also because sometimes people just want to have a chit chat, and where it's like, oh, I can't. It's gonna come out, and then you'll have your answer anyway, so we don't have to have a discussion about it. But
right.
My thing is, you know, just so the people that listen and who do get bummed out when we don't do it and stuff, we're going to get much more consistent because now I'm not on tour doing my other podcast.
This is good. I didn't know that.
Launching a network, working at Baskets. Baskets ends in a week.
No
so
more Baskets.
So four entire jobs that I've been doing this whole time are going to be put to bed in a way, or at least lessened, and then I'm going to have time to actually do things that I want to do in my life, if you can imagine that.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Like what?
Like grabbing that cat and running away.
I like cats.
Yeah, cats are pretty good.
Steven, how do you feel about cats?
Let Steven say a thing or two.
I don't know. I don't. I'm more of a squirrel guy.
It seems like then you're kind of impartial.
Steven has a podcast called The Purrcast that's about cats.
I know that. I was leading into it.
Thank you for the setup. Thank you for the setup.
I'm playing the straight guy.
That was so dry, Chris.
I want to skateboard there.
I thought you didn't know.
I know, I did know that, yeah.
And let's do some cross-promotion,
yeah,
Steven.
Cross-promotion, Purrcast. We are talking about cats, other animals that you like, that you want to, like, observe what kind of litter they use.
Sure.
What kind of their favorite toys are, where they like to lay in the sun. You know, all the good things that you want to know about cats.
And it's funny, because I know most of those answers.
You do?
I'm a cat like, man. I'm a cat man.
You're a cat man, too?
I'm a cat man, too. And I'm cordially inviting myself to be a guest on your podcast.
Yes, I would love that.
What movie stars have been on the podcast?
Tom Cruise. Yeah, he's a big cat guy.
Eartha Kitt talking about her character work for playing Catwoman.
She's talking about exploitation of cats in film.
Real advocate.
I will talk about that. There's nothing I hate more Because they don't, they rarely do it for dogs. I guess they did in Something About Mary. That guy got thrown out a window and was in a body cast. But cats, they, it's so funny to everyone. Like in Christmas Vacation, when a cat gets electrocuted or gets squished, it's, people love to see cats hurt in film, and I'm not a big fan of it. Okay. It's bothered me since I was a child.
I'd save this for the Purrcast, that's for sure.
I think it's changing now. I think it's changing now.
I love the new Karen signature joke. What is it? What's it called?
It's, it's the Rickles-esque prank, cruelty-based comedy that I'm doing with you as a co-host with you.
There was another name for it, but I love
Slam poetry jokes?
Do you? I love your pranks, by the way.
Thank you.
Another one, if we're in a restaurant, and you do this all the time, if the waitress is like stumbles and drops a bunch of plates of food and glasses, Karen will clap.
Yeah.
And then other people laugh, and then she starts chanting USA. USA, USA, and everybody. And the woman usually cries.
Yes, because she saw I stuck my leg out to make her trip.
Yeah. So, there's so many layers to that prank.
And I win every layer.
God, I love pranks.
It's just a victory. Here's the good news for you, though.
I don't love pranks.
About Steven's Purrcast.
Uh-huh.
You can fucking tell the feline aid story again for the first time.
Oh, right.
For an entirely new audience. They're dying for that kind of content.
I told that one a lot on our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, do you? Well, we at first were going to do a podcast about Alzheimer's. I think it's the second best thing for me to just display that I'm fucking getting it.
Oh, 100%.
Through my stories.
And that I'm tolerant of it because, as you have, I've been through living with a person who has it.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, this again? Great.
You said, as you have, I've lived with it. And then I said, as have I. I forgot that
that you're already being included.
8 seconds. That's how short-term memory gone I am. Hills have eyes.
Now, my sister told me the last time I was home that there's some. It was something of the vaccination is coming in the next 5 years or something like that. There's very big progress has been made recently.
My friend, who's works in a laboratory at the University of Montana, and they study Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, very similar. Also said yes, huge things have happened with realigning the brain's triglyceride acid triads, whatever.
The triads,
it's triangle. Flux capacitors in our brain. They figured out how to lube them, all right? And it ain't, the answer isn't coconut oil, know-it-all. Although it does help.
Get your omega-3s now that we're talking about it.
Just get your fatty acid.
Get your fatty acid out of here.
On down to the vitamin store.
That's my favorite dog, Steven.
Oh, wow.
Shiba Inu. You sent a picture of that during Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, I got to hang out with the Shiba Inu. They're so
fucking love those dogs.
I love her collabs with Prince. Oh, no. Shiba Inu sounds like a drummer-based front lady.
Oh my God, Shiba Inu's album 1987.
It's so good.
Walk that dog.
Miami streets. Walk that dog down the Miami streets. Shiba Inu. Oh God.
Shit. Now, whose dog was that, Steven?
It was my sister's friend's dog. It's 2 years old. Can't remember the name off the top of my head.
Chitters.
Yes. There we go.
Chitters?
Let's throw out some possible names.
It was like Britta or Para or something like that.
But was it Joe Para talks with you?
Yes, it was. Joe Perry, actually.
Joe Perry, the guitarist for Aerosmith.
Yes. The dog, though, was very interesting because Shiba Inus are like known for being kind of antisocial dogs. So there was three other dogs there, like a border collie and a sweet labradoodle, and they didn't like the Shiba Inu was kind of like didn't know how to interact with them. It was very funny.
Sounds like you could have a
dog-based
podcast too.
Yeah, maybe we'll switch it.
Because I've just become a dog man.
Oh, did you get a dog?
Just today when you
No, I've just emotionally, you know, I've learned to like kids and dogs and worry about each of them when they're in the room together. Because one, I don't know if you know this, can unexpectedly bite the other's face off.
No.
And people are going to make excuse for the one that did it. You want to take a guess? Which one took the... It's the dog. Dogs bite babies' faces all the time. And then dog owners go, oh, well, the baby made a sudden movement.
The baby did it.
You know?
Baby wanted it, is what people say. It's
There's
disgusting.
There's nothing that bothers me more than people making excuses. You know... Well, actually, cats will scratch a baby, too.
I've told you probably several times about the story where my cat took a swipe at my niece when she was a year and a half because he was hiding behind a mattress that was leaned up against a wall. And she stuck her little, almost two-year-old head in the crevice that it created, like the little tent space that created.
No.
And right as the cat's claws were coming across the baby's eyes, Pete walked up and picked her up. And so he literally watched the cat's claws like go like that as he yanked her back, her face away from the cat.
And Pete did it knowing that that was happening.
He saw her down on the ground and was like, if that cat's in there, this is bad news. And he went and got her preemptively and rightfully so.
That gave me the same feeling, of thinking about how a paper cut occurs or whatever like that.
Awful. But everything turned out great.
One time we were here and we were talking about your uncle with a short cigarette pointing at something. It was at this corner.
Is it my Uncle Steve's story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were the days.
We're driving straight into a black rain cloud.
It is. This does not look good.
No.
This is like a scene from Twister.
Stephen, will you hand me my glasses? This is about to fucking get real.
Yeah.
All right, how are we doing on time,
this is
Stephen?
Going in, we're at an hour 20.
Oh,
wow.
Jesus.
Look, we are self-indulgent assholes.
We really are. Let's wrap it down.
But let's Thank wrap you. It up. How about that?
Whichever way you want to do
let's
it.
Let's wrap it side to side.
Come on.
Let's wrap it in a cup.
Let's wrap it up.
Well, we were just making up for the break.
Yes.
This felt good. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be so good.
And if you're a first-time listener, you're going to love it. And go back to the old episodes. Some of these stories that we can't tell anymore.
There's some bad sound in those old episodes. Get in there, really drink in the static.
Yeah, that's one of the best new things about the new...
Season?
Season. Let's just call it a season.
Okay.
Exactly right. Provided by Midroll via Stitcher. you might be listening because you heard about us on Rolling Stone, which used to be a song and then a band and then a magazine and now a website. You are listening to Do You Need a Ride?
DYNAR!
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.